Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see everybody. And we got a better crowd than I thought we were going to have this holiday weekend. But we are glad that you're all here today, gathered for worship on this 15th Sunday after Pentecost. And we've gathered to enjoy the Lord's presence, worship together and sing, and experience God's grace in a special way. A little bit later on, we'll be talking about traditions. And what those mean in our lives, and when they're good and honorable, and when they are not. So we'll talk about that later on. But as we begin, let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father, and to the
Well, let's join together for our call to worship in the bulletin this morning. Creator, we thank you for the heavenly lights.
The sun, moon, planets, and galaxies that wane from afar.
In the darkness, you call out, let there be light.
And all creation is filled with heavenly lights.
You are our creator. May our worship lift up God's holy name this morning. Well, let's join together there and sing one of our favorites we haven't sung for a while. Victory in Jesus, hymn number 430 this morning.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, that I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and oh, my love is due him. He plunged me to victory. Sing the chorus again. Oh, victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin. Creator of the heavenly lights, there is no shadow in your divine light. It remains unchanging across the eons, even as the stars come and go. You are our faithful creator, the gardener of our lives. You plant your truth within us and inspire lives of caring and love. We honor and worship you. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And you can turn to your next hymn there if you'd like to, 443, on Christ's solid rock I stand. Going to invite our kids to come down if they would. Are you the only one? Well, where's the rest of them? Come on, yeah. You can be a little bit older. That's so fine. How's everybody doing today? Good.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about traditions. Traditions. So is there a tradition that you have at your house or your family that maybe does every year that you really like a lot? You don't have any traditions? Okay. What do you think? We're trying to decide which one we're going to tell you about. She's wondering, you sound like, you must be like me today. Yeah, she said she doesn't have a very good voice. Ah, yes. So is there a tradition? Which one was she telling you about? On Christmas Eve, you don't? Okay, so only siblings, right, open up presents on Christmas Eve. Oh, that's different. Yeah, everybody's got a little bit different one, something that they do that's unique. You can't leave any? Something you do every year. He probably just doesn't remember. Because almost everybody has some kind of tradition. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Aunt Kathy's turned that into a monthly project, hasn't she? They said making homemade noodles is a tradition. And as soon as I heard it, Aunt Kathy, she's turned that into a monthly tradition. That's because some people want to buy them from you, so that's all right, too. And you know what? Sometimes traditions can become that way. So everybody's got traditions. And even in church, we have traditions, don't we? Like usually, the first Sunday, since you talked a little bit about Christmas and stuff like that, usually, well, almost always since I've been here, the first Sunday in December is always the Green Sunday, where we hang the greens. And we don't do the full thing like some churches do, but what do we always do on that first Sunday? The kids and the youth and their parents need to come down, and what are they going to help do? Come on, you got to remember. What do they help do? Yes, they decorate the tree over there in that corner. Yeah. Ever since I've been going here, and Carla, how many years does that go back?
50-something.
Yeah, yes, yes. So, and it's still a good tradition, you know. And so in our gospel reading today, there's a tradition that the Jewish people practice fairly common in Jesus' day. But when the disciples didn't do it, some of the religious leaders got upset. And they said, whoa, wait a minute, why aren't you following this tradition? And Jesus started to talk about our hearts. Now, wait a minute. Why would Jesus talk about our hearts and our traditions? What do you think? Can sometimes we do our traditions and maybe our hearts are not in it anymore? You know, you still think that's important, don't you? That you can, yeah, that your heart's in it. Well, for some reason, Jesus must have knew something about what's going on. Because he kind of got on him and said, listen, he says, right there, people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And he's talking about the tradition that they keep practicing all the time. But he's basically saying your hearts aren't in it anymore. He's not putting down the tradition. He's saying, don't let your heart kind of go through the motions and you're really not in it anymore to serve God or to love God or to help somebody else. So we always have traditions. And in churches we have traditions. And those traditions can be really good. But Jesus, I think, is helping us to see, don't forget about the importance of those traditions and do it with all of your heart. You know, like somebody, has anybody ever told you, if you're going to do it, you got to do it right, and do it with all your heart? Ah, yeah, there you go. Your sister's told you that, huh? Oh, no. You told her that? Oh, okay. Somebody told her that?
Well, why'd you point to your sister for?
Are you saying that sometimes she does that? Oh, she's not going to really answer. I'll leave that alone. Yeah. But it's easy to go through the motions, isn't it? Sometimes when we come into church on Sundays for worship, our hearts may not fully be here. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, don't just say things with your lips and your hearts be far away. And I think that's what he's talking about. So we have lots of traditions that we do, even here at church. But we want to make sure our hearts is in it, because that's part of our worship and following the Lord. Okay, you can go on down the stairs.
Those of you that are going, maybe one or two. And while they're heading down, we're going to go to our time of prayer. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning. And we will let you do that. Somebody want to begin? Yeah. Somebody else, yes. We've got, what's that?
Unspoken.
Okay. Unspoken this morning. Got a couple others. I saw another hand. Yeah.
I'd like to ask for prayers for the Rose family as we lost my brother this past.
Yes. And I'm sure there were people that were definitely praying. Since I'm friends with some of your family, it kept showing up in my feed all the time. And we definitely did with that loss of her brother. And so we definitely want to keep them in our prayers this morning. Somebody else, I thought I saw a couple other hands. Yep. Who?
Barney.
Oh, Barney. Is his back still bothering him a lot?
Yes.
Yeah, it sounds like my one brother that did that. Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely want to keep him in our prayers this morning, yeah. So, I thought I saw another hand. Did I see one over here? Maybe not, go ahead.
I asked for prayers for a Crystal Ayers a few weeks ago. She is the wife of one of the Troy Elementary principals, and she was hit and run over by a car. She's had shattered pelvis, 15 broken bones. They had a little setback this week. She was supposed to be moved to an inpatient rehab, but the morning they were going to move her, her oxygen was low, blood pressure slightly elevated. Come to find out, she has an infection. She did get the fixator off earlier this week, but she's still got some healing to do, and hopefully that move to inpatient rehab can happen within the week or so.
Yeah, and thank you for a little bit of that update and everything, because she's on our monthly calendar, and definitely want to keep her in her prayers. Wow, something else when I found out about how many broken, all kinds of things in her body. Yes, and definitely want to continue praying for Crystal. I saw another hand. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, well, we definitely need to pray for her. She sounds like she needs some kind of a miracle, doesn't she, if it's throughout her.
Yes.
Yeah, And definitely want to remember Sherry in our prayers this morning with cancer. Somebody else? Joys or concerns? Yeah. Good. We're thankful for that then. Yes. And yes. Yeah. So we want to continue lifting up Greg, praying that they get that all figured out, why his blood pressure is going haywire. And he, thank God he was here last Sunday, but he still was having some dizzy spells even when he was here last Sunday. And then for Bill, we want to continue lifting up Bill, too, and for each of those. Somebody else this morning? Anybody else this morning? Okay, wow. We want to continue praying for Esther also and lifting her up in our prayers. And I think she's doing much better, just as I explained last week, just that healing up in here to help her convey what she wants to say and remember what to say and everything. There was just some delay there. And after having that small stroke, and definitely want to keep her in our prayers and continued strength for her. Getting around better, but needs that continued strength. And all right. Anybody else then? Okay, so we have those that have been mentioned today. And let me just encourage you to, if some of those names come to your mind as she plays and you're praying, just to speak those out to the Lord, and then I'll come and close this out. As we pause this morning, we're just so thankful that you are a good God and that you work in our lives in various ways and that we can trust you and depend on you no matter if life is high or if we're facing lows. If everything seems to be going our way, or when everything doesn't seem to be going our way, we can still trust in you, that you are guiding our lives and you are leading us, and that we can look to you through it all. Lord, today we especially lift up those that have been mentioned. We think about the Roach family, God, asking for your comfort and peace and grace today. We lift up Barney to you, God, asking for your healing touch and grace on his body. And Lord, help him to be able to slow down and to recover and get stronger through that process. Lord, we lift up Crystal, God, as she's battling this infection. We just ask for your healing touch and your grace to be upon her today, Lord, as she is wanting to get into rehab and begin to build back so much that she has lost. And we just ask for your hand there. We lift up Sherry to you that just really needs a real miracle. And God, thank you for her faith and good spirits through all of this. But we just pray, God, and ask for your touch upon her today, as only you can do. And we just pray for your continued strength and encouragement for her, Lord. We lift up Greg, Lord, today and ask, Lord, your healing touch upon his body, Lord. Whatever is causing that issue regarding his blood pressure, we just ask that you will give wisdom and guidance to the doctors. Help them to figure that all out and touch him, we pray today. Lord, we lift up Bill, God, and ask for your continued healing for this wound, Lord. And Lord, we lift up Esther to you and ask for your continued healing for her and her recovery from that stroke, God, that you would give her strength and healing and recalling in her memory and help her to be able to once again be able to say what she wants to say and recall and how she wants to do that, Lord. And we thank you for that. And give her your encouragement, Lord, through that time. It can be very frustrating. I know, Lord, as I saw it with my mom and I saw that look in Esther's face too. Lord, just encourage her heart, Lord, in the middle of that, and be with her, we pray. Lord, we lift up the unspoken need today. Lord, whatever that is, we just lift it up to you. Ask for your touch upon whatever that is and your hand there. And maybe there was other unspoken needs that were mentioned during our time of prayer there. Lord, may you work and grant and bring forth your mighty hand in situations. And we're grateful and thankful about that today. Lord, we continue to lift up all of those on our monthly list, Lord. So many of them that are going through some kind of treatment or special medical help, God, facing various things. We ask your continued touch upon them and your healing touch, and continue to give wisdom and guidance to the doctors as they work with them and the specialists, Lord. And Lord, we do lift up any of those of our own here families and our church family that are traveling this weekend, Lord, that you will be with them, give them traveling mercies and bring them back to be with us this next Sunday. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we continue to pray for our community. We continue to pray for our state. We continue to pray for our nation. God, that you will continue to lead and guide our leaders, giving them wisdom. And Lord, that you would grant your grace in all ways, Lord, because we need it so much. Thank you for your presence with us today in this place. We ask your just blessing and anointing upon the rest of this service. Lord, as we break the bread of your word, may you just feed our souls and remind us of who you've called us to be as your people. As we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline ear to us. Thank you for joining with us in prayer this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And again, thank you for your faithfulness. I'm reminded of that, of what Jesus said when he said, Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and running over. And so as we are faithful in giving to the Lord, as the Lord leads us, and then God makes a way and provides for us in various ways. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Well, let's join together there in our bulletin for our dedication. God of every good gift, bless the gifts of our resources. May they be for the good of others and your church, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, our scripture reading is coming from the lectionary gospel reading today. We're not reading the entire portion of it. I just want to read the first part of it there. Mark chapter 7, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 7, and you can follow along on the PowerPoint if you like. The Pharisees and some legal experts from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. They saw some of his disciples eating food with unclean hands. They were eating without first ritually purifying their hands through washing. The Pharisees and all the Jews don't eat without first washing their hands carefully. This is a way of observing the rules handed down by the elders. Upon returning from the marketplace, they don't eat without first immersing themselves. They observe many other rules that have been handed down, such as the washing of cups, jugs, pans, and sleeping mats. So the Pharisees and the legal experts asked Jesus, "Why are your disciples not living according to the rules handed down by the elders, but instead eat food with ritually unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah really knew what he was talking about when he prophesied about you hypocrites. He wrote, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Their worship of me is empty, since they teach instructions that are human words.'" That is God's word for us today. And I pray and ask that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, I know I've shared this one before, but I thought I would share it again. A woman brought a very limp duck into the vet for surgery. As she laid her pet on the table, the vet pulled out the stethoscope and listened to the bird's chest. After a moment or two, the vet shook his head and said, "Sadly, I'm sorry, your duck Cuddles has passed away." The distressed woman wailed, "Oh no, are you sure?" "Yes, I'm sure your duck is dead," replied the vet. "Well, how can you be so sure?" she protested. "I mean, you haven't done anything, any testing or anything like that. I mean, maybe my duck is just in a coma." Well, the vet rolled his eyes and turned around and left the room. A few minutes later, he came back with a black Labrador retriever. As the duck owner looked in amazement, the duck stood there on his hind legs, but put his front paws on the examination table and sniffed the duck from top to bottom, and then looked up at the vet with very sad eyes, and the dog shook its head. The vet patted the duck on the head and took it out of the room. A few minutes later, he returned with a cat. The cat jumped up on the table and also delicately sniffed the bird from head to toe. The cat sat back up on its hunches, shook its head, and meowed softly and strolled out of the room. Vet looked at the woman and said, "I'm sorry, but as I said, your duck is most definitely dead." The vet turned to his computer terminal, hit a few keys, and produced a bill, which he handed to the woman. The duck owner stood there in shock and took the bill and said, $1,000? "Yes, $1,000 to tell me that my duck is dead? What is going on?" The vet shrugged, "I'm sorry, but if you'd have taken it my word for it to begin with, the bill would have only been $50. But the lab report and the CAT scan, it's now $1,000. I want to talk to you today in the voice of the famous actor on Fiddler on the Roof, Tradition. I want to talk to you about traditions this morning. Let me tell you another story. A newly married young woman wanted to cook a ham for dinner. She took the ham and cut off the ends and put it in the pan and put it in the oven. Her mom called while she was doing this and she said, "Hey mom, why do we cut off the ends of the ham before we cook it?" Her mom said, "I don't know, that's the way my mom always did it." Well, the young lady called her grandma and asked, "Grandma, why do we cook our ham that way?" Grandma said, "Oh, the pan I had was too small, so I cut off the ends of the ham." Traditions are everywhere. Traditions are everywhere. What are traditions? The word tradition means passing on or handing down customs, beliefs, or practices from generation to generation. So, that question that was up there earlier on the board, or on the PowerPoint, not the board, I'm dating myself there, aren't I? What are some traditions you grew up with that are particularly meaningful to you? Now, I can think of a tradition that really, I loved it every year we did it. A little bit like they were sharing about their Christmas Eve tradition, just the siblings exchanging gifts. But when I was growing up, every Thanksgiving day, we went to Grandma's early in the morning, Mom and I and my sisters, and we would help Grandma, and all my aunts were there early also, preparing meals, the food and everything. And my favorite thing to help out with was helping Grandma make her homemade mashed potato rolls. I can think of them right now. You would die for them. They were the best. Soft, tender. Yeah, I'll leave it there. So, anyways, tradition. Until my grandma couldn't do it. But then it shifted a little bit and we went to Aunt Sharon's house and did it somewhat similar. But every year, that is just, it was just something that happened. And when I was growing up, we had other traditions also. But there's one tradition. And the reason I'm going to share this is because it was a religious tradition or faith tradition. Really, you could say it was a faith conviction of my dad's. When I was growing up, we never, ever worked on Sunday. That was just the way it was. Now, I knew other people that had jobs on Sunday and they worked those, and I never heard my dad say anything about it otherwise. We never mowed the lawn. We never went out and raked leaves. We just enjoyed a meal and laid around and rested and watched TV, and that's what we did. Or we got together with family. That was a tradition. Now, that may have not been a tradition you had, and my grandparents kind of honored that, but they did go out and feed the cattle and so forth. That was part of life and everything. But we kind of honored that, and you know, I didn't realize how deeply that tradition had impacted me till years later at my very first church, when I saw all kinds of my parishioners doing everything else except coming to church. And then I got offended. And then I got judgmental. Have you ever been there when somebody does something that's maybe just not the way you think it should be done? Now, years later, I realized that, especially the whole thing about work, I mean, it's just part of life now today. It's not like it used to be. But in our gospel reading today, the religious leaders felt the same way when Jesus and his disciples did not follow the tradition of ritually washing or purifying their hands before eating. So what is it about traditions? We're going to talk a little bit about that and what that meant. And then we're going to try to draw some ideas of what that means for us today. Because we don't really follow that kind of a tradition like they did back then. So let me break it down into two ways to think about it, and it's pretty simple. First of all, when traditions honor God. Now, no doubt, and I think we all understand this, traditions are more than we think. They're more than we think. At first, we might have heard, when you heard me reading the gospel reading this morning, you might have thought that the ritual washing of the hands was about hygiene. And you could make an argument for that. Because Milgram, in his big commentary on Leviticus, talks about a lot of those ritual purification things of washings and everything that Israel did through the centuries had to do with health reasons. Not just religious reasons, but health reasons. Because they didn't have antibiotics, they didn't have sanitizing things, they didn't have refrigeration, everything that we think of today, you know, to keep us healthy and strong and to watch out for our lives. And for the Pharisees, and you see this if you read throughout the gospel, ritual washings were about tradition and faithfulness and reverence and honoring God. I'm going to tell you in a little bit why that's so. And so traditions are more than we sometimes think. And that's probably true with our own traditions. We have family traditions. We have religious traditions, faith traditions, church traditions, you know, and I don't know, you could probably keep going and come up with other ideas about traditions, work traditions. I mean, even businesses have traditions. But traditions are honorable when they draw us closer to God. And that's the religious, spiritual, faith, church traditions. The tradition of ritually washing of hands was a whole routine that they went through. In fact, I didn't know fully about that till the very first church I pastored. And one of our deacons, his daughter, who grew up in a Christian home, went to church all of her life, married an Orthodox Jew from the Bronx in New York. You know, the one that wear the hat and have the little, whatever those things are coming down. I can't think of the exact name of them. And he was telling me that when they would go and eat, there was a sink that they washed dishes in. There was a sink that they washed pots and pans in. And there was, and this was all the traditions of the rabbis and their elders and what they had to do and not do so that they remained pure or clean. And that's what it was all about. The routine that we read there this morning was about spiritual and ceremonial purity. Purity was this. It was about being presentable to God for worship and service. So how many of you ever grew up and you were getting ready to go somewhere, and you were a little kid, maybe a boy, you'd been playing outside, or maybe you were a girl, whatever it was, and your mom said real quick, we're going over to grandma's, wash your face, fix your hair, and brush your teeth, or something like that. What were you doing? What did she want you to do? She wanted you to be presentable when you went over to see somebody. That's the idea, a little bit, of what's going on here, is that they wanted to be able to come into God's sanctuary and worship with the right kind of heart and making sure they weren't defiled. And you got to read through the book of Leviticus, and I don't have time to talk about it all this morning, about what that all entails. But their duty to ritual purity came from a deep desire to be faithful and presentable to God and respectful of their cultural and religious traditions of their faith and the elders. In other words, it came from a good place. And there's value in respecting and appreciating rituals and traditions that honor God even to this day. Now, let's talk a little bit about why Jesus got upset with them. And this is what I want you to see. So not only when traditions honor God, but when traditions dishonor God. Because nowhere in there does Jesus criticize their tradition. Nowhere in there does he get on them because they ritually wash their hands. And so there's two things I see coming out of this. You might add a third, but I didn't want to throw that in. Is that when our traditions can begin to dishonor God. And that's this. When we judge people by our traditions. Okay, let's go back to what I said earlier about when I was pastoring at my very first church and I saw everybody doing everything besides upholding the Sabbath. And I said I started to get judgmental and critical. This is what Jesus is addressing. Let me say it again. Jesus says nothing about the right or wrong of their traditions or rituals until they used it to decide, listen to this, who's a disciple or not, or they started elevating their tradition above what God told them to do in Scripture. And if you read through the rest of the story there in Mark 7, that's the whole issue right there that Jesus gets into, about them elevating their traditions above Scripture. And Jesus becomes quite adamant about calling the religious leaders out on this with some pretty harsh language. Hypocrites! You play actors, is what the word there means. And at first when we read this, and I remember years ago reading this, we might think, yeah, Jesus, you tell them. You tell them. But I think Jesus might caution us against our own tendencies to judge others also. Because we all do it, don't we? Somebody doesn't like something we like, then it goes on in our head, doesn't it? Or whatever you want to say. Some people doesn't believe the way we do, you know, and so forth and so on. So traditions that dishonor God is when we use those traditions to judge or be critical of other people. Second thing is when traditions dishonor God is when, what's what I talk to the kids about, is when our hearts are missing in the situation. There's nothing worse than faith or traditions devoid of heart. Over and over again, the prophets of the Old Testament talk about this, and Jesus addresses this. Now, let me just say this so you understand where I'm coming from. Everybody, including you and me, loses heart now and then, don't we? We believe in our traditions, we believe in our rituals, we believe in our faith, and we go through the motions, but sometimes our hearts are just not there. We've all been there. I've been there. I can think of times when I went through the motions regarding our faith practices and traditions, and I had a bad attitude at the time. Oh, you've never been there, have you? I was mad at somebody at the time. Or my heart just wasn't there for some reason, whatever it may have been. But here's the thing. Just because our hearts are not there sometimes doesn't mean Jesus wants us to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think he's saying this to us this morning. Watch your hearts, for with them we should honor God, follow Christ and his teachings, and practice our traditions. And as we seek to grow in our love for God and others, and seek to follow Christ, I pray that our hearts will be full of faith as we worship and honor God, even through our traditions. Traditions. Amen. Amen. Well, let's take a few moments this morning and And greet one another before we close out with singing our chorus there, Open My Eyes, Lord. Everybody's really talking today. Open my eyes, Lord, if you'd like, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. We'll sing it through a couple times. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch. Let's join together for our benediction. The good gifts of God continue to pour out upon us. May our lives yield a full harvest of goodness and compassion as we seek to honor God. Amen.